Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved. Oh, I'm bad.
Amazing way. He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Girl, I'm bad.
Amazing why. We're back, it's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging around with me today. It's a pleasure to be with you, and I know it's like a dream come true for you. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter, and I really hope you'll check out our new blog, Jim's Blog. If you look at the top left-hand corner of the website, you'll see the link to the blog. And I hope you'll – what the blog basically does right now, at least, we got some new things – some more new things that are going to happen. But one of the things that it does is it gets everything that we've done recently, today and the last few days, everything that we've done is right there on the blog. Rather than dropping into the back, so to speak, the bowels of the website, it stays out front on the blog. And so I think that's going to help all the things that we do to be a lot more useful and a lot more productive for you. And so check that out. And any comments, any constructive criticism or anything, even if you want to say something nice about it, I'll take that too. So I hope you'll check that out at smallbusinessadvocate.com. Or if you don't like to type, here's the short one, jbsba.com. Richard DeKayser is all over our website, is a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's deposited quite a bit of wisdom with us in over the years. And we have all of that archived. He's there in the Brain Trust if you want to find him. He's our guest this half hour, Senior Vice President and Chief Economist for National City Bank. And he's here to help me conduct our FedWatch show. Richard, welcome back to the show.
It's always good to be here, Jim.
It's good to have you back, as always. And let's talk a little bit about the economy first. Give us your patented Richard DeKayser tour of the U.S. economy.
Okay, well, the economy has been doing reasonably well. And by that, I mean GDP, which is the conventional measure of total economic activity that people follow, has been running at just north of a 3.5% clip over the first two quarters of this year.
Pretty solid and pretty healthy, huh?
Pretty solid, pretty healthy. You know, things really took off in the second half of 2003, and we saw 5 and then 4, and now we're down to about a 3.5% to 4% range so far this year.
Much more manageable and healthier, I think.
That's right. I think the Fed's real purpose here is to try and get us on that nice, steady, even track. But I think we're heading into, or in the quarter we occupy right now, the third quarter of this year, a little bit of a boom. And the reason is that the two things that contributed to our slowing economy in the first half of this year were, number one, energy prices, and those aren't over apparently just yet, but number two was some tax effects. The government had these very, very generous tax incentives to encourage capital spending. Those ended in December, so there was a little bit of pause. But what happens now is that it seems like those effects are somewhat diminished, and in the first part of this year, businesses did not adequately anticipate the slowing economy, and their inventories blew up to undesirable levels. But they've corrected that. In the second quarter, we saw a massive drawdown of inventories, which now have returned to extremely lean levels. And it's really setting the stage for what looks like a big rebound in the third quarter. My prediction is GDP in the vicinity of 5%.
Wow. For third quarter?
For the third quarter. But I think beyond that, we're looking sort of at a continued reversion back to these 3.5% kind of numbers as we move into 2006. The bad news is it is a slowdown from what we've seen over the past 2 years, but the good news is they're very solid numbers and the sort of thing that, you know, if you promised me the next decade would look this way, I'd take that trade in a minute.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it sort of reminds me of the shuttle landing today. Richard, you know, when they came in at 18,000 miles an hour, that was pretty fast, pretty impressive, pretty exciting, but I was scared to death for them. And I was so glad to see when it got down to about 2,000 miles an hour, I was awfully glad to see that they were only doing 2,000 miles an hour. So I'm, you know, when we were, what was it? Was it last year in the third quarter, a year before that we had 8.6 or something?
That was the third quarter of 2003.
And 8.6. You know, that was pretty heady, pretty exciting, and pretty gratifying that our economy could create that kind of growth. we needed. I think we needed to see that kind of a bump, but it was out of control. It was like that 18,000 mile an hour shuttle flight, and we needed to come back down to something more manageable, which I think most people say is in the 3 to 4 range.
That's right, and you know where I think we're at, Jim, right now, and where we're likely to remain for some time is at what economists call full employment.
Yep.
Now, if there's lots of slack in the economy, unemployment is high, and factories have lots of excess capacity, the Fed's going to keep interest rates low in the interest of getting things back to normal operating rates. And vice versa, when the economy's overheated, as it was in 99, they're going to raise interest rates to try and cool things off. But
Richard,
today, it looks like we're just at that point of full employment.
Hold that thought. Folks, according to the Wall Street Journal, more Americans have jobs today than at any other time in history. We're going to talk about that and some other topics right after these messages with our good friend, Richard DeKayser. It's 20 Till. Stay with us. We're back at 17 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Richard DeKayser, Chief Economist and Senior Vice President at National City Bank Corp. And Richard, I was reading a little passage from this week's Wall Street Journal, and here's the rest of it. I'm going to read part of that again. More Americans have jobs today than at any other time in history. Over the past two decades or so, the U.S. has created more than 40 million jobs in the last two decades, twice as many as Europe and Japan combined.
Mm-hmm.
And the U.S. has the lowest jobless rate of all developed nations.
That is absolutely correct. Absolutely correct.
So I think Americans, and especially small business owners, Richard, should small business owners, please put your arm straight up in the air and crook your elbow behind your head and pat yourself right on the back, small business owners, because most of what I just said is because of you, and that's the reason why you're my heroes, and I know, Richard, you agree with me.
I absolutely do, and the small business sector has clearly been the source of job creation in America, and as you just noted, America has exceeded most of our trading partners in job creation, so you know the logic leads us to where you did.
In the last 24 months, again, according to Wall Street Journal, 3.5 million Americans have found work, 3.5 million jobs in the last 24 months.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of jobs.
It sure is.
So
yeah, it started out pretty rough, getting the moniker once again of a jobless recovery, because we did have economic growth in 2003 and into 2004 without there being any apparent gain. And actually, employment was continued to fall during that time.
But you know, Richard, you and I were talking about that in those days, and if you remember, we talked about the fact that that was mostly politics. It was also mostly those things were being, even though I admitted, and you and I both admitted, it was a jobless recovery, the thing we were pointing out was that there was a reason for it, and it wasn't anything political. It was the way of the economy, the way the economy was evolving.
Well, right. There was this great irony in that we saw during that time very, very strong, I mean, you know, 50-year kind of precedent gains in labor productivity. Now, when that happens,
because of technology.
Because of technology and just figuring out how to combine different things and use
better,
them more
better practices and
right.
All that, yeah.
So that's good. That means we're doing more with less, and ultimately that does redound to the benefit of workers in the form of higher wages, inflation-adjusted wages.
Can I stick one thing in? There's one other thing
sure.
that I want to stick in because I think this is very important. Another reason why we had all that productivity is something that Lou Dobbs will choke if he heard me say this, and I hope he's listening. Outsourcing.
Yeah, well.
Outsourcing.
Yeah, I won't deny that. By outsourcing has been one aspect. I wouldn't say it's the dominant aspect.
I didn't say it was dominant. I just
right.
said it's one of the factors that Lou Dobbs and his ilk go around excoriating. And in my opinion, outsourcing is the best thing that ever happened to the economy and small business.
Well, I think that's right. I agree with you. You know, the problem is that there is some adverse fallout. There are some people who lose their jobs as a consequence of it, and I think that you need to recognize that right up front. But
well, they're just working for the wrong people right now. They got to go work for somebody else.
Exactly. And to you know, see only that aspect of the globalization phenomenon and to not recognize the other aspects, like the fact that other businesses are doing better because they're exporting more abroad.
Right.
And most people are finding that by virtue of the U.S. outsourcing experience, they are, in fact, paying less or experiencing
right.
fewer price increases than they otherwise would. And most of the people, believe it or not, who experience the benefits of these reined-in costs are in the low and moderate income categories.
Right. And when I say outsourcing, Richard, I'm not talking about globalization necessarily. I'm talking about outsourcing across town or across the block.
Mm-hmm.
You know, outsourcing meaning if it's not your core competency, let somebody else do it.
That's right. Right.
And that's where these jobs and this efficiency, a lot of them has come from.
Well, that's been going on for a while.
Yeah.
You know, with the outsourcing of corporate cleaning services and mail rooms and so forth. And I think you're right. When people focus on their core competency, they can do better the things that they're tasked to do.
One of the little sayings that I like to encourage people to say to themselves is, must this task be done in-house? And if the answer is not a resounding yes, then you go find somebody else who can do it for you. So what are your thoughts about the economy for the rest of the year after this quarter?
Well, again, this quarter I think we're coming into a nice, call it a boomlet, if you will, as businesses are trying to restock these depleted inventories now that things have picked up. And beyond that, I'm looking for, again, an economy which is unspectacular but very solid. I think consumers are going to continue to spend as jobs are there for them and they continue to gain the compensation-related income, as well as the benefits of, you know, rising property values, which have created a sense of wealth and encouraged spending.
So if you're a small business owner right now, Richard, and you're seeing signs of optimism, you feel like that you're getting some good signals from the marketplace, are you saying that we should believe those and maybe make plans for the reality?
Yeah, of course. I think, you know, the planning process always involves not one particular forecast, but a number of forecasts, and you weight them all based on how strongly
mm-hmm.
you may feel about the various forecasts coming to fruition. But I think the best view that many people should be factoring into their planning is continued steady growth, higher interest rates, and increasing cost pressures, whether it be labor mm-hmm. or materials, as we look forward to 2006. And there's
Yep. Hold on to that thought, Richard. When we come back, I want to talk about those interest rates, because I think you're probably going to, I'm not going to predict what you're going to say about what the Fed's going to do, but I am going to predict that we're not going to like it, folks. It's 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Richard DeKayser is our guest. He's with National City Bank. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Richard DeKayser is our guest. He's with National City Bank, Chief Economist and Senior Vice President at National City Bank. Richard, tell us about National City and give us your website, please.
Sure. National City Corporation is a major regional bank holding company. We are throughout the industrial Midwest, going Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan, Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, and Missouri. Our website is nationalcity.com. We have 1,200 branches and close to 2,000 ATMs in that area I just described.
Are you in St. Louis?
Yeah, we are.
I'm going to be in St. Louis this week.
We acquired an institution last year in St. Louis and now have a very significant presence in that city.
Thursday and Friday, I'm going to be there working with the Association of Chamber of Commerce Executives.
Okay.
So I'm looking forward to that. So St. Louis, get ready. Blassingame's coming to town. I'm giving fair warning. Richard, the Federal Open Market Committee meets today. And
yep.
I'm afraid they're going to do another dastardly deed today. What do you think?
Well, I think you're right. If by dastardly deed you mean raise interest rates a quarter point.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, the target that they focus on of the federal funds rate, how much banks charge each other overnight, is now at 3.25%. I expect they'll bring that up to 3.5% this afternoon. And in all likelihood, we'll see more of this going forward. No one likes to see higher interest rates. Well, let me put it this way. Few people like to see higher interest rates.
Alan Johnny One Note Greenspan, that's what I call him now. He only knows how to raise rates or lower rates. He doesn't know how to go up a little and down a little.
Yeah, well, we've had this conversation. I sympathize. It seems to be like the strategy is to focus on the job number one, and job number one at this particular time in the business cycle seems to be worrying about containing inflationary pressure.
But inflation is not in trouble, is it? I mean, we don't have any big inflation challenges, do we, really?
No. Inflation remains pretty benign right now, but the concern is that if the Fed fails to slow the economy sufficiently going forward, that you'll start to get those kind of symptoms that characterize an overheated economy. You know, if the unemployment rate goes too low, factory operating rates go too high, and so forth, that in that kind of an environment, inflation would become a problem. So all of this is not about dealing with a problem that's on the table right now. It's about preemptively trying to prevent these problems from emerging in the future.
Well,
so it's a big forecasting exercise.
Based on your forecasting, I'm afraid you're correct. We're talking 3.5 Fed funds rate, a 6.5 prime rate.
Yep.
For small business, what that means is 7.5, 8.5, 9.5, maybe even 10.5 to get the money that we need to grow our businesses. And that's starting to get prohibitive. And we throw in the double whammy, as I've mentioned last month, the double whammy of higher interest rates and higher petroleum rates. Petroleum went to a record high again this week.
Yep.
Crude oil did, and you got what you got is you got between all that and all the new competition that small business owners have across the marketplace, and we're getting squeezed.
Yeah, we alluded to this earlier. Costs pressures are rising. I think that's going to be one of the challenges small businesses are going to confront as we move through this year into 2006. And again, that's. Gets back to the question of why the Fed's doing what it is.
Yep.
If you see labor costs rising, petroleum costs rising, the natural tendency is to try and pass these along. And the worry is that one pass along turns into another, and next thing you know, you've got inflation spiraling out of control. Now, I don't think that's going to happen, but that gets back to the precise rationale for why the Federal Reserve is doing what it's doing, trying to keep us in that comfort zone of steady, moderate growth without spilling over into the kind of overheated economy that could create problems down the road.
But I want to talk to Mr. Greenspan and say, look, the backbone of this economy is small business. We're getting slammed in three different directions. You know, why? And when you raise interest rates, it affects us disproportionately more than anybody else. You stand a chance of killing the goose that's laying the golden egg.
Well, you've got about 5 more months, at which point he's going to surrender the title to someone else.
Right.
So you better have that conversation.
Well, you know, I miss Bob McTeer on the FOMC. Ever since Bob McTeer left the Fed and went to the Texas A&M, you know, he was our voice of reason on the Federal Open Market Committee. I miss him. I wish he were still there. Richard, thank you for being here. Good job today. Any last thoughts? I got about 15 seconds. You got a last thought for us?
Well, just to your point, I mean, businesses should plan for this kind of a moderate environment. I think that we're not going to be seeing any of the extremes that have characterized the past 5 years, whether too much weakness or rapid growth, and that's a good thing. So I'll end on that optimistic note.
Yeah. Thanks, Richard, for being here. Good job today.
Take care.
And see you next time. Richard DeCaser, ladies and gentlemen, with the National City Bank Corp. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and remember, when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile. And also remember that this program is all for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.